times. My goodness. I am Daniel Likus, and welcome to Movie 101 Review. Movie 101 Review is created to empower movies itself. And today, of course, I have my fabulous, well, partner in crime, Miss Safa Bernal.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing today? I hope you're having a fantastic day or night, wherever you are, whenever you are. I hope that you watch some awesome movies, some fun movies, and some provoking movies as part of your life. And we're going to talk about some today.
Yes, yes, yes. Last week, we talked about the legendary John Wick. Ah,
so good. I love John Wick. I love just the intimacy of the action. You know, it's huge action, but the way that they actually get in close and that kind of combination of firearms and martial arts and the incredible nature of it, I love it. If you want some good fast-paced action, John Wick is just one of the most amazing series of the modern era, and you can definitely tell that it's directed by a stunt supervisor. like, this is clearly directed by somebody who really knows action, and it's like, yeah, that's what I want with an action movie.
There's no dull moment in John Wick. I think every moment is like that.
Yeah, and then the quiet moments are just character and emotion, and give you enough emotion and enough characterization to make you feel for at least some of the people, or to make you feel how complicated the different relationships are. And then bam, you know, something else happens and it's like, my heart.
So today, Miss Bernal, which movie are we going to talk about today?
Ooh, we are talking about Kung Fu Panda, the franchise from DreamWorks, featuring Jack Black, Ian McShane, Angelina Jolie, and others throughout the run of it since 2008 with Kung Fu Panda. Completely different kind of action than John Wick.
So, Miss Bernal, why did you choose Kung Fu Panda?
Honestly, I love how we talked about John Wick last week. So please absolutely go back and listen to that if you feel like it. And then I wanted to look at the very much the other side of action. That sort of kid-like, comedic, just pure, unadulterated, happy, fun kind of action that you can get into too. Because I figured that these were two kind of dichotomous, you know, they are both on the edge of their own kind of action, and I really like that. And I thought too, the Kung Fu Panda movies, I mean, the fourth one just came out, you know, with Jack Black reprising his role, and Awkwafina as the new protege, shall I say, Zhen. And you've also got Viola Davis in there as the chameleon. You know, Dustin Hoffman continues as Shifu, which is hilarious because it's Master Shifu. And I'm like, oh, it's Master. Okay. All right.
Yes.
But that's one of the things that DreamWorks decided on when they were making the Kung Fu Panda franchise. They have all these things like, oh, what's the name of that noodle house? It's Noodle House. Oh, okay. You know, it's Shifu is the name of the character. And it's like, it's Master. It's Master. They did that kind of thing as a sort of, you know, endeared comedic homage. Just to kind of be that little tiny Easter egg where, you know, people who do actually speak the language, people who do actually, you know, hail from the cultures that they are attempting to, in a small way, not represent, but pay an homage to, that they could have a little bit of a giggle. It feels very good natured, you know, in its way. So it did just come out, you know, in my opinion, was it the best movie of the series? No, but it's still fun.
Additional.
Yeah, you know, it's still fun. I mean, after Kung Fu Panda 3, where we have a whole bunch of gigantic pandas just sort of like skadooshing around and turning themselves into cannonballs as they roll down hills to smash into people. Like, after that, where were you gonna go? really, you know, well, clearly they went into something a little bit more focused in on Poe, our main character, played by Jack Black. He is the panda. He is the dragon warrior. And, you know, you get to see his progression through the four movies. There are TV shows as well, but today I'm more of a focus on the movies. So,
yes.
Total fun.
So, Mr. Bernal, what do you think the main goal that wants to achieve the movie itself?
I think, you know, going from the original Kung Fu Panda all the way to Kung Fu Panda 4, really the main goal is to kind of give this sort of animated Wuxia feel. And pardon me for my pronunciation. I'm Scandinavian, so I try my best when it comes to certain things. But the sort of run of Wuxia movies in Chinese culture, and as we've seen in North American culture with a lot of imports from the Shaw Brothers and different things like that, these martial hero pieces of media, you know, whether it's a movie or a TV show or books, you know, they're just fantastic. You know, I love watching those old Shaw Brothers movies. I do it with my spouse all the time. We just really enjoy kind of going into that and viewing the martial arts and seeing some really obscure forms in that kind of thing. But I think for this, they were finding a way to kind of make it accessible for kids who weren't raised in a time period where those kinds of things were on TV or in the theaters. And they were sort of bringing it up and going, hey, this is really neat. You know, you've got a whole bunch of animal forms in Kung Fu. You know, and in Shaolin Kung Fu, you have a very specific type of animal forms. The kind of Kung Fu that I've had exposure to includes more of the Southern style forms instead of the Northern style forms. So it's a, you know, they're a little bit different, but it's really fun to see the differences and just to see how they're kind of bringing the spirit of it, not necessarily the total accuracy, but the spirit of it in this character named Poe, this good-natured, wide-eyed, sort of every kid who wants to learn Kung Fu. You know, this like, oh man, look at this. Like the first scene we see him in and he's, you know, playing with action figures that he made himself and he's going, oh, blah, 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 blah. Oh no, now it's Tiger. You know, all this kind of stuff. And I think we can see a lot of ourselves as kids, you know, in Jack Black's pantomime. And then as Poe goes forward, he keeps the charm, that child's likeness, without necessarily keeping the childishness as he goes forward. As we progress through the different movies, he sort of stumbles into this next level of where he's supposed to be, but he does it without becoming hugely jaded. And that's another thing that I really love, because there's been this huge swing in movies and in books. You know, shout out to Book 101 Review, which we'll be on later. By the way, yeah. Where in order for the ingenue, in order for that sort of coming of age character to grow up, they have to somehow lose their childlikeness. You know, they have to lose that wide-eyed, that trusting nature. They have to lose all of that and instead become some form of jaded or guarded. And we don't necessarily see that with Poe. We see that he does start learning some things and he does grow as a character, maybe not as fast as some people would like, and maybe not as fast as his waistline. But we do see him grow, yet he keeps that charm and he keeps that little bit of menace in his eyes. You know, the menace of a kid who's trying to set up a prank, not the menace of somebody that's about to, you know, nuke a building. So I really like that. I'm endeared by it. I think that we have space in media for the John Wicks of the world and we have spaces for the Poe. And it's just so fun.
So, Ms. Bernard, what do you think if Kung Fu Panda is not an anime? Is it? Do you think it's the same success that people will watch it?
I think the art form does so much for their ability to play those visual gags. And I think if it had live action. Now, there is a rumor going around that they were thinking of some form of mix between live action and CGI for a Kung Fu Panda movie. That is a rumor in the mill. I don't know if they would be able to keep some of the charm, because I think that the second we put something in an animated format, even a 3D animated, like a CGI kind of animation, the kind of benchmark to suspending disbelief is a lot lower than if it's with actual people. If it's with actual people, a lot of viewers tend to need to be kind of cajoled into seeing this as something believable. But if it's an animation, it doesn't matter. You can go against physics. You don't have to do wire foo. I mean, there's a lot of amazing wire foo out there. There's a lot of amazing, amazing, like, Chinese opera style martial arts, like you see with, you know, just the sheer amount of incredible artists that have been out there doing that kind of style. You know, the king of it, I would say, is Jackie Chan. You know, that sort of Chinese opera style and Red River Boat style of doing things. So I think, like, there was an era where we could have, you know, the Jackie Chans of the world kind of pulling off something as ridiculous and as crazy. But I think the second you make it live action, it will lose some of that escapist charm. Not that it couldn't be done. It absolutely can be done. You know, we've seen this in the last few years, though, with a lot of movies that are live action remakes of old classics. And there is definitely an argument to be made for the fact that, yes, they are well done movies. Yes, you know, there's a lot of movies that are incredibly well crafted, but they're not as charming, in my opinion. Yes. They don't have that same release of the tension of the real world that all of us expect. And I think nowadays, when you hear, I'm saying nowadays a lot, but I just mean the last decade of cinema. When you hear that you want to be real, that means you have to be a lot more raw and a lot more dark. And I would prefer my Kung Fu Panda to have those dark moments. I mean, Kung Fu Panda 2 had incredibly dark moments.
Yes.
You know, Gary Oldman did an incredible job with Shen, the enemy of Kung Fu Panda 2, who is a peacock. Incredible, incredible moments in that movie where they were quite dark. You know, you're going through the death of Po's mom. You're going through, you know, how he ended up being adopted. You're going through all of these, you know, quite incredibly serious events. And yet they still kept the charm with that release of tension continuing forward. And then by the end of that movie, you know, there's this part where Shen's like, how did you do that? How are you so good at Kung Fu? Like, you're just a panda. And Po's like, you know, like, you relax your shoulders, you roll it out, you kind of do this. And I remember I was with my spouse, and they were like, what? Wow. That's literally the secret of Kung Fu. And I was like, oh yeah, okay. He's like, no. I was like, okay, so they did that too. So you can't tell hard storylines in this kind of media, but there's a charmingness to the animation itself and a surreality to the animation itself that I think is just really precious to maintain, that you wouldn't get, even though we have the technology now to make it seamless. I still just, keep the animation thing.
I think a good example for that, Ms. Bernal, is the X-Men anime, and then they make it live action. Oh, yeah. It's a big disappointment to me because, oh, where is the magic out there? Where's the charm?
Well, are we talking the X-Men that Bryan Singer did several years ago, or are we talking about X-Men First Class? Because, yeah, like, I was raised watching that cartoon in the 90s.
Yes. You know,
the second that music starts, it's like, oh, where's Rogue and Gambit? Okay, here we go. Yes. Storm! Like, yeah, go Storm, go. You know, Jean Grey going, Scott. You know?
Well, for Bryan Singer, he did a good job, but there's amazing charm of those live movies. But before we go on, Ms. Bernal, I want to shout out our listeners in Down Under. Thank you so much, Down Under, because in New South Wales, I get 36% audience share. Queensland, 36%. Western Australia, Victoria, and Australian Capital Territory. Thank you so much, Australia, for listening to this podcast, because this podcast is created to empower movies itself. So, Miss Bernal, Kung Fu Panda, what are the most moral lessons that the director wants to impart to the viewers?
I think the main lesson, especially early on, was that appearances can be deceiving. And that there's this idea that, you know, the dragon warrior is going to be something like Tigress, you know, played by Angelina Jolie in the movies. This hugely powerful, explosive tiger claw, you know, going in there. Just incredible force. And instead, Master Oogway, you know, the for those of you who may or may not be aware, the turtle, who is very, in my opinion, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but appears quite Taoist. Which is really fun to see, sort of that that sort of Taoist nature versus a kind of more Confucianist nature, I would say, with Master Shifu. And again, please correct me if I'm wrong, but that's just the sensation I get. yes. You know, he being, you know, Oogway being this easy, like, just let things go, like, just things are going to happen, and they're going to happen. You can't stop certain things, so that you just meet them at the proper time, and you need to have that calm, that stillness, and just sort of let things happen. The more you get agitated by something, the more the waters are going crazy. And there's a scene in Kung Fu Panda 1 where, you know, basically Oogway takes Shifu and literally calms the water of this pool with a whole bunch of cherry blossom petals in it, and it, you know, of course it has the giant MacGuffin above it in the reflection, and you're like, oh, there it is, okay. But it's still, you know, when you have the figure of Oogway, who is more of this sort of calm spiritual nature, only intervening when it's absolutely necessary, and otherwise letting most things play out, and certain things, you know, he chose Poe. And it was like, oh, how interesting. You know, how interesting. This is the Dragon Warrior, huh? Okay. Well, if this is the Dragon Warrior, this is the Dragon Warrior. All right. Then Poe will eventually rise to, you know, the challenge. And I think that sort of allowing somebody that might not be somebody's first choice or might, you know, look on the outside as if they're not worthy or they're not the ideal, but you actually give them a chance and see them in action. You find a way to unlock their talents and their abilities, and all of a sudden, you know, the world is their oyster. And it's like, oh, this is the Dragon Warrior. I just needed to look at my conceptions of what a Dragon Warrior is supposed to be and see it in a different way. So that kind of push and pull between Oogway and Shifu, where Shifu's like, this isn't good. I'm going to have to go through this. And I'm, ah, you know, he's totally being a red panda. Like, ah, you know, like, see, like, red panda versus pumpkin. It's like, oh, okay, there, little red panda. You're vicious.
Hilarious.
You see, so, that difference in, you know, too much action and too much trying to control things. And then, like, no, let it play out. Let it play out.
Yes. So, Ms. Bernard, what do you think Kung Fu Panda will be, let's say, the future?
Well, I know that they are looking at making more movies. You know, they also have several TV shows. This is something that I think DreamWorks does quite well, creating franchises for their media. You know, think of other DreamWorks franchises like Shrek. You know, you think of How to Train Your Dragon, The Good Guys, that kind of thing. I think there will be as many movies potentially as Jack Black is willing to voice Poe. I think some things do depend on that. I think if we lose Jack Black, then we will have lost the charm of Poe. So I do think that it, in some regards, it really will depend on whether or not Jack Black likes the scripts. And so I think they keep trying to one-up the villains. You know, at first it was, you know, leopard style. You know, it was the guy that thought he was supposed to be the Dragon Warrior because he was the strongest of Shifu's students. And then you have Shen, this elegant but lethal person kind of trapped by fate, trapped by, you know, soothsayers and things like that. And then in Kung Fu Panda 3, you have, you know, the this force of nature coming back from the other side to steal all of the kung fu from all of these masters to be unstoppable and kind of come back to life. And then in this Kung Fu Panda 4, you've got the chameleon who, yet again, is stealing all the other master's kung fus. So I don't know where you go from there. You know, I think you kind of have to. It's not necessarily about one-upping a villain. It's going to have to be about something more intrinsic or a story that's more kind of fetching, something to foil some of Po's behaviors or that of Po's companions. I think they have it, you know, in my, like what I would do, let me say it this way. What I would do is I would have a Po and focus in on one of the other dragon warriors every movie. So like maybe one movie is Po and Tigress. One movie is more about the relationship between Po and Mantis or Po and Snake or Po and this new character, Zhen. You know, have the sort of buddy movies. You could do one for each kind of thing. Focus on another one of the Dragon Warriors throughout it. Now, I know that there are quite a few episodes of the TV shows that do that kind of thing. But I think you could, you know, do a Jack Black and Jackie Chan buddy film with Po and Monkey. You know, I do think that would be amazing. And we'd be able to go into more of a sort of history of the kung fu they're alluding to.
Yes. Interesting.
Yeah, I say alluding to because obviously this is an animation, so it's not like it's one for one on every single one of the movements, you know, but I still think it's really awesome that they chose animals that have an intrinsic tie to a lot of animal kung fu, which, you know, according to friends of mine who have actually trained in the Shaolin Temple, is something that you don't learn for a very long time. And I think that's one thing that really interested my spouse and I in the series, just because my spouse team tends to, you know, research and look through more obscure forms of kung fu and has for, you know, 20 years. He's done this for 20 years. Well, actually, more than that, but, you know, give or take. And there are so many incredible stories that could be alluded to bring somebody into a greater desire to inspect certain, you know, Chinese cultures and periods of Chinese history and things like that, that I think would kind of bring new eyes on that material so that people can really, you know, look at certain cultural impacts and be like, wow, this is really neat. Look at this, you know, and celebrate, you know, celebrate kung fu and celebrate all the stories within kung fu, including, you know, the kung fu styles that were created by women.
Oh, yes. Empowering women. Oh, yeah. So much, Bernal, as a Taekwondo belter, what is your inspiring message for those want to have
practice?
Yes, I think, some sort of practice.
Yeah, you know, there are schools for every talent level, for every physicality level. You know, when I taught Taekwondo, I taught everyone from 4-year-olds to 72-year-olds. And we also, you know, within my form of martial arts that I was a part of, we had specific programs and forms for people with amputations or people who were wheelchair bound. We had different forms and programs as well to help people with neurodiversities so that they could join in on a community, become more physically fit, and also have goals to reach towards while they're building their discipline and their confidence. And so, you know, wherever you fall on that scale of what you're looking for when it comes to physical activity, when it comes to martial arts, some people want it more for that kind of like, all right, let's wrap our wrists and get to it. Like, bam, let's go. You know, like, oh yeah, I got bruises. Yeah. You know, from that kind of scale or like, you know, I've trained with guys who wanted to get into the octagon. You know, they wanted to be an MMA. I've also trained with people who were beautiful people who were just doing this as a way to develop something of themselves, to become more active and develop a form of community. You know, wherever you are on that scale, there is a martial art out there. Just make sure that you know who's teaching it, that you can agree with the way that they teach. You know, because there's different strokes for different folks when it comes to that kind of thing. If you're more of a hardcore person, then going to the dojang that I run would not have been for you. I know. I spend a lot of time teaching kids and teaching adults too, but we went through a lot of kids, which was great because you got to see these little 4 to 6 year olds starting off as little tiny tigers, and for the first few lessons they're just learning how to stand straight and tall on their star. And they're learning how to listen, and they're learning some hiyas and some kicks, and they're learning how to punch in the air. And then you take them from that place where they're like, look at this, you know, bringing a note from their teacher saying, this student has been really good this week and helps, you know, helped his peers clean up every day and volunteered to, you know, put the books away after reading time. And it's like, okay, I got this note from this kid's teacher. Everybody, we're going to clap and celebrate this. This is awesome. Good job, kid. Here's a star to put on your uniform so you can feel special by doing something good. And like, it was everything from that, where you were reinforcing good behavior, both on the mat and at home or at school, all the way to when I taught self-defense to women in a university setting. And it was legitimately less about, you know, here's a star for your uniform. And it was more about what happens when something potentially serious takes place. What do I do? And so I've taught all realms. I'm not saying I'm the best teacher in the world. I'm not, you know, but I taught all kind of feels in there, and there's something for everyone. There are schools for everybody, and you need to take yourself where you're at and be realistic with where you are at and go from there, and not necessarily idolize somebody that's been doing this for 20 years and go, why can't I be that good now? Well, it's going to take you a few years to you know, brush yourself up and get up. It is something that needs discipline. You've got to go even when you don't feel like it sometimes, you know, when you're tired and it's been a bad day and it's raining and you just got home and you broke your heel going into the office and everything was crappy and you don't want to leave the house, but you know what? You've got to get out there, and you get to class, and maybe it's, you know, you spend a few minutes being a little grumpy, and then, you know, halfway through the class, you realize, oh, this is okay. I'm here, and I'm having fun, and here we go. This is benefiting me. And that kind of expression of it, that kind of diligence and discipline and the building of confidence that it brings, it just so, it affects your life in such a positive way. But you have to just make sure that you have the right instructors, that you're at the right school for you. So
I think, yes, the Kung Fu Panda give this moral lesson, to have a discipline within yourself to achieve success. So Ms. Bernard, before we go on, I want to please invite you to look at my Food 101 merchandise. This is from my Food 101 podcast. And now I hope you're going to visit it. I have a lot of products to share to you, like coffee mugs, accessory pouch, apron, and a lot more. Please do visit my Shopify and Etsy. And please do grab or shop one of these items, because they are something else.
Yeah, they look delicious.
Delicious. Chef Alessandro was laughing. Oh, is that a bikini or? Oh my goodness! Well, we're doing our Food 101 merchandise. But people, please do visit my Shopify and Etsy, and of course, listen to my other podcast, Food 101, our fourth season with Chef Alessandro, one of the best executive chef in one of the 5-star hotel in downtown Toronto. And please do listen to our latest episode. We talk about pasta people. So please do listen, Food 101. So Miss Bernal, Kung Fu Panda, what else you can say about it?
I think that the series is a lot of fun, you know, as an adult watching it, but also as somebody who has seen children enjoy it. I think that they're just great movies to go see. I think that, you know, go see it at home, you know, make some popcorn or some bao, you know, go to a place, grab some neat snacks and sit down and have a watch once it comes out on streaming. I think it'll be fantastic to just relax and enjoy some stuff. You know, I've had some people say that Kung Fu Panda 4, you know, is it the most, you know, intricate plot in the world? Not necessarily. Can you see a lot of the plot coming? Oh, yes, I believe you can. But it's still fun. It's got heart. It's got some pretty awesome kung fu. And it's got Jack Black just being a meme, just being Jack Black. And if you saw, you know, his rendition of Bowser from Super Mario Brothers, I think he's in full form. And I loved Super Mario Brothers too. So seeing him as Bowser was like, yes!
Achievable.
It was great. He's like, yes, this is what I needed today. I think it's that kind of movie. It's the sort of movie that'll, by the end, you know it's going to work out. And you're able to just sit and enjoy. And enjoy you will, you know, and it, if it gets you moving a little bit, if it gets the kids moving, if it gets somebody wanting to kind of be like, oh yeah, what do they do? No, wait, what are you doing? Okay, no, crane, you got to make sure your fingers are like this so you have those like pressure point movements. You know, it's like, oh, you know, here we go. I think it's worth a watch. Very just sort of nicely entertaining and worth a couple of hours sitting on the couch at home to see.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely highly recommended, people. Kung Fu Panda, a series that you need to watch with your kids. Mm-hmm. So, Ms. Bernard, please do promote your podcast and your books.
As we said, my name is Safa Burnell, and I have a website. It is saphaburnell.com or .ca, depending on where you're from. And that is saphaburnell.com. And you can find my cyberpunk and my mythpunk books. You can also hear my voice, if I haven't annoyed you with it yet. Every week, every Thursday, we launch a new episode of We Aren't Dead Yet, which is a podcast about literature, about tabletop role-playing games, and nerd culture. And you can listen to that everywhere podcasts are: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, YouTube, the whole kit and caboodle. And that is a podcast that I run with my two excellent friends, world-awarded world builder Emily Armstrong. She's a media producer. She is the creator of Culinary Punk, Elder Space, and Beckettville, and also the creator of Quests and Quarrels, which is a TTRPG, a tabletop role-playing game. And also Kes Bischoff, who is a game master with over 30 years of experience, a U.S. military veteran, and an absolute sword and sorcery expert when it comes to literature, too. And we talk. We chill. We talk about books. We talk about creating archetypal content. We talk about using games and gamification in order to bring life to your villains and your monsters. And you can listen to it for free everywhere you listen to anything. And you can also purchase my books. They are available everywhere. Just search for Safa Burnell and you can get The Judge of Mystic Saga, which is a mythpunk series, and Neon Lieben, which is my first of my cyberpunk series. I hope to see you on Book 101. You can absolutely listen to all of those Book 101 episodes where we have chatted about my books on my website, yes, saphaburnell.com, and also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else podcasts are listened to.
Yes, people, let's support Miss Safa Burnell, because if you support her, more books to come. We're looking forward for Ginnungagap.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it so much. There are things, yes, people are not ready for. I'm like, ah, you have no idea.
We are all busy. So, Miss Burnell, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Morning, people. See you soon.